to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. To verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God used the Apostle John in writing his gospel to say that the Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, the authority, to be called the sons or the children of God. In his first epistle, the apostle is stressing the fact that this was not only true with those who saw Christ face to face, but it is also true of those who have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In writing his epistle, John was writing to those who had not seen the Lord Jesus face to face, as John and others had. In fact, in chapter 1, John said, "We saw him, and our hands actually touched him. Our hands handled the Word of God." So there were those who saw Christ, many who saw the Lord Jesus in his day, some of whom accepted him for all that he claimed to be. They believed him to be the promised Messiah, the prophet of God, the King of Israel, and those who accepted him were given the authority by the Word of God that they were the children of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You see, there's a difference in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, accepting him for who he is. It's another thing to believe the testimony that's given about him, such as we do today. We believe the testimony of God concerning His Son, and on the basis of that testimony, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, believing Him to be the Messiah, the Son of God. So John, in writing to these ones who had never seen, said that, "I'm writing this unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, because you have believed on the name of the Son of God." There is power in that name. In going back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, John said to these believers, And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. I want you to think about that, because there was so much in the conditions and circumstances of the early church. Persecutions, loneliness, martyrdom, which would so depress and sadden these early believers. But John writes that your joy might be full. You might remember the Savior in the upper room said to his followers before going to the Garden of Gethsemane and then on to Calvary and death and then his resurrection, after which his ascension to heaven. He said to his followers, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 11. How can these believers of that day who faced such persecution, such adversities, how could they be filled with joy? Because we believers have the Lord Himself dwelling within us. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to think about that as well. You know, when we read that verse from Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we think of the words of the Lord Jesus, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Remember now, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not our joy in the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord that we have in us that is our strength. It's His joy in us. And so John writes that these believers, though facing such adversities, such persecution, such martyrdom, and so on, that they could have joy. You know that the theme of 1 John is fellowship, communion. Fellowship, not just any kind of fellowship, but fellowship with the living God and with His well-beloved Son. Going back to chapter 1 once again, John said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." Koinonia, fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. So John is writing about fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. In Christ, we have fellowship in the life of God, in the light of God, and in the love of God. What a fellowship! What a joy divine! I want you to note with me several points as we consider these verses in 1 John chapter 4. I want you to think about, first of all, our position as believers in Christ. Actually, John speaks of believers being in three positions. And I want you to look at it. Look back at verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him." That is our supernatural position. In Him. In Christ. Look at verse 17. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That is our social position in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we are here as ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. So our supernatural position is in Him. Our social position is in this world. But now note this spiritual position back to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, this is our spiritual position in love, our supernatural position in Christ, our social position in the world, our spiritual position in love. As to the supernatural position in Him, I trust everyone in this room is able to say, yes, by the grace of God, I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that is so. If not, then we urge you to consider what the Word of God has to say and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do, when you call upon Christ to be your Savior, then God will place you in His well-beloved Son. And that is how God sees all believers, in Him. What a wonderful position that is. And such a position is beyond human comprehension, but thank God, not beyond our apprehension. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ if we have called upon Him to be our Savior. You might remember that this phrase, in Him, is a characteristic of the Apostle Paul particularly. He used it so many times. Therefore, if any man, meaning any one of mankind, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Such a position brings us such an abundance of graces and blessing. We dwell in Him, says the Apostle John, and He in us. You know, if I were to take a sponge and put it in water, that sponge would be in the water. But not only so, that water is now in the sponge. A body, a human body, is in the air. But air is in the body. And so we who have trusted Christ as Savior are in Him. The Word of God repeats this over and over. We are in Him, and He in us. You remember in that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 17, the Lord Jesus was perhaps at or in the Garden of Gethsemane praying that high priestly prayer, in which He said in John chapter 17 in verse 23, "And I in them," that is in believers, "I in them, and thou in me." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul reminded the believers of that day and us as we read the Word that our bodies, the bodies of believers, our bodies are the temple of God. You know, you've heard me say, and I'm sure others say, that it would be scripturally correct to say that the Holy Trinity dwells within us. Going back to those words of the Lord Jesus in John 17:23, "I in them, and thou in me." Our bodies are the temple of God. So God dwells within us. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And 1 Corinthians 6:19, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is God. So it would be scripturally correct to say that the Holy Trinity dwells within us. But that is our supernatural position. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. But now, as to the social position, back at verse 17 once again. Though Christ is in us and we are in Christ, we are in this world. We are told that we are not of this world, but we are in it. A boat is good and usable as long as it is on the water. When water gets into the boat is not usable. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke about our hope in Himself. And Paul and others wrote about this hope. We have a blessed hope of forever being with the Lord. And we read this and we hear it read and said, particularly at a graveside service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And we were singing, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Well, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. When God saved us, He could have taken His own home to heaven. But He has a purpose for us being here. We're to shine as lights in a dark world. And though we are citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. The Apostle Paul, writing 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In writing to the believers at Ephesus, Paul said, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1 and 1. In Philippians 1 and 1, Paul wrote, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Those believers were at Philippi, but they were in Christ Jesus. It makes no difference where we are in this world. The important thing is to be in Christ. And the thing to keep uppermost in our minds is that we're here on a mission for our blessed Lord. Yes, He could have taken His own home to heaven when we were saved. No, but He has something for us to do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, we are a spectacle unto the world. When you go to 1 Corinthians and consider what Paul says in chapter 4 there, and consider the background of his words, you will find that there were those believers who were thinking, well, this is the time to reign. We belong to the Lord. This is a time for us to reign. And the Apostle Paul rebukes these believers at Corinth. And he says, in essence, it's not the time for reigning. If it were, then we, your spiritual fathers, would be leading the column. But no, it's not a time for reigning. But we are here on a mission for our Lord. And we are looked upon as the scum of this world. We are a spectacle unto the world. And he stresses the fact that as we move across this gigantic stage of time, the world is watching us. The world is looking on. And angels desire to look into these different aspects of this great salvation that we have in Christ. We believers are in Christ, but we are in the world. And the world is watching. And God desires that they see Christ in us. We are to be Christ-like. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. So our supernatural position in Him, our social position in this world. But now the spiritual position, back to chapter 4 and verse 16. Our spiritual position in love. In love. Oh my, it's so easy to read about love, to sing about love, to talk about love. But would to God we would allow, and I speak for myself too, that we would allow the Holy Spirit of God to make what we are reading here real in our life. The whole passage is full of references to, descriptions of, and blessings in the love of God. Remember, when we were saved, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, when we were saved, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. Here again, you've heard me say, I used to think, well, how can I love someone if I don't love them? I mean, either you love someone or you don't love someone. Lord, how can I love someone whom I don't love? Well, even though there are some people we might not like, we're to love them. You might say, well, that doesn't make any sense. And this is what I used to think. Well, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And it's a question of whether or not we'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way. And perfect, listen carefully, and perfect God's love in us. You might remember in Matthew 22:36-40, one of the Jewish rulers asked Christ, which is the great commandment in the law? And the Lord Jesus said, and He took him back to the Shema, back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our spiritual position in love. That's our position. Let's go to the next point and think of our practice. Our position in Christ, in the world, in love. Now our practice. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to make us holy. We are sanctified in our Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. We have our position in Christ, and we are declared holy by God, but it is the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us, working in our life, to make this a reality in our practice. 1 John chapter 3, John said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Titus chapter 2, you might remember, the Apostle Paul spoke about God manifesting his salvation to all, that the grace of God has appeared, making it possible for mankind to be saved, teaching us to live holy lives. This is our practice. We are to be Christ-like, and it can only be done in the power and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Now keep that thought in mind as I go to my third point, and that is our prospect. And look back at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. And I'm sure that there have been a number of people over the years who have had confused thinking because of the English translation of this particular verse. Look at it. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, and you'll remember this message by these nine little monosyllables. Because, as he is, so are we in this world. Nine little monosyllables which enable you to remember these thoughts. But in thinking of verse 17, I think of our prospect. But I went on to point number three because it's not our love that's made perfect. That's the way it's rendered in this English translation here, but it's not our love. There is nothing about us that is perfect as yet. We will be in a coming day when we see Christ face to face. Let me read to you from the Darby translation, the new translation, J. N. Darby translation. Listen carefully. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein has love been perfected. Now, he doesn't say our love. Herein has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that even as he is, we also are in this world. I looked at the Amplified New Testament. Listen carefully to verse 17. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And the point is, it's not our love that's made perfect, but it's his love to us is perfected in us when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have his way. Look back at chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein. Wherein? Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So it's not our love that is made perfect, but it's his love to us, this love that has been shed abroad in our hearts. It is his love to us that is perfected in us when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way, so that we will love even as the Lord loved. You know, perfect love has settled the sin question, hasn't it? Perfect love casteth out fear. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Let's suppose we were passing a courthouse where a trial was going on. And let's suppose at the time of this trial, a person is being tried for some terrible, terrible crimes, including murder. And we pass the courthouse, and we might ask someone nearby, well, what's going on in here? Oh, don't you know why a trial is going on and someone is being tried for some terrible crimes? Is it possible for me to go in? Well, yes, it's open to the public to a certain degree. But you wouldn't want to go in there, would you? They might get you. Well, there would be no fear with us because we're not guilty. When we trusted Christ as Savior, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sin. And it's in the present continuous form. It goes on cleansing us from all sin. God sees us holy, blameless, and unreprovable in His sight. That's how God sees us in Christ. And so perfect love casteth out fear. We have no fear and apprehension of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And look back at verse 17 now. Herein is, I have a Cambridge Bible here that's falling apart. I've got to get another one. But I have a marginal reference here. Herein is our, and here is the marginal reference. It's not our love, but love with us. Herein is love with us made perfect. It's His love that is perfect. And when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way, His love is perfected in us so that God sees Christ in us. And God's love in us casts out fear. We have no fear or apprehension in the day of judgment. We have boldness. We have confidence concerning that day of judgment. No, we would not be afraid to go into the courtroom where this trial is going on. We're not involved in it. And the same is true with us being in Christ, being in this world, being a testimony for Him. We have a living, blessed hope. We are going to be with the Lord and we're going to see Him face to face, even as we've been singing. And there is no fear or apprehension in seeing Christ face to face. Why? Because we've already been condemned. Look back at verse 17 once again. Because as He is, so are we in this world. When God's love is perfected in us, when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way, God's love is perfected in us that others will see Christ in us. It is this same love with us that gives us boldness or full confidence in the day of judgment. No fear or apprehension to meet the Lord face to face because as He is. Well, how is He? How is the Lord Jesus Christ in regard to judgment? Well, you say He died for sinners, and all of us who are saved can say He died for me. And in God's recognition I am as the Lord Jesus. He'll never be judged again. I will never be judged again as a sinner. In regard to righteousness, John stresses in chapter 2, is it? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, if any believer sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. What's the rest of it? The righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Well, how is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Well, you say, He's the righteous one at God's right hand. Well, as He is, so are we in this world. No more judgment to Him, no more judgment to me. He is righteous, I'm declared righteous in Him. In regard to acceptance, we are accepted in the Beloved. What is that, Ephesians 1 and 6? We are accepted in the Beloved. So that we can say and sing, so near, so very near to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of His Son, I'm as near as He. In regard to His position, as He is, so are we in this world. He is heir of all things, Hebrews chapter 1. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't it wonderful to be saved? And to know that perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love has settled the sin question so that there is no fear with us. But we are to allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way so that God will see His Son and the world will see Christ in us. Our position in Christ, in this world, but in love. Our practice, God is to have His way with us. And our prospect, we have confidence concerning that day of judgment when we stand before Him face to face, because as He is, so are we. In this world. Join with me in singing, Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Brother Charles Lee, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please? Thank you for having me.